Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, "Take from the exiles Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have arrived from Babylon, and go the same day to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take from them silver and gold, and make a crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And say to him, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It is he who shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be in the temple of the Lord as a reminder to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and him, the son of Zephaniah. And those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.'" This is the word of the Lord. In Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, the word of the Lord comes to Zechariah as a vision, not like the visions in the night, but as a vision in flesh and blood. The taking of the exiles, the taking of silver and gold from them, the casting of a crown and setting it on the head of the high priest. These things were done by Zechariah, and they were symbolic of that same hope that was revealed in the visions in the night. That hope of the building of the temple by Christ in glory, the hope of a dwelling place for God with his people who will come from far off. His people who will be brought out of exile into the kingdom of God. Zechariah was to take the exiles, Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who had arrived from Babylon, and he was to go that same day to the house of Josiah. And he was to take there from the exiles silver and gold. Now we noted last Lord's Day that as these exiles were taken to the house of Josiah on the same day on which they returned from Babylon, that this silver and gold is likewise to be understood as silver and gold which they brought with them out of Babylon. And so we have here an echo of the Exodus. We have an echo of the Exodus when the Lord brought his people out of Egypt. When the Lord brought his people out of Egypt, they did not leave empty-handed. But according to the word of the Lord, they brought with them the gold and silver of Egypt. When the people of God were brought out of Egypt, they carried with them the gold and silver of Egypt. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And that gold and silver, it was to become a contribution to the Lord. It was to become a contribution to the Lord for the building of the tabernacle, the building of his dwelling place in their midst. And so we have in Zechariah with the echo of that Exodus, the revelation of a new Exodus. We have in Zechariah the hope of a new Exodus, the goal of which was likewise the building of the temple, that God might dwell in the midst of his people, that he might be their God, that they might be his people. The crowning of Joshua, the crowning of Joshua, the high priest, it is the identification of Joshua, it is the identification of the high priest as the one who shall build that temple. Now, we may understand that this word does not ultimately concern Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, as we also noted last Lord's Day, that in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, it is not the priest who is identified as the one who will build the temple, but that it is Zerubbabel, the ruler of the people, who is identified as the one who will build the temple of the Lord, from the laying of its foundation to its completion, to the laying of its top stone. The text is inviting us to recognize not a contradiction between these two visions, between these two passages, but rather the text is inviting us to recognize that both Zerubbabel and Joshua, that both point beyond themselves, that they both point to one person, to one who is greater, to one yet to come, to one in whom all these things hold together, to one who is not only the king of God's people, but to one who is also their high priest. Zechariah chapter 6, it is a revelation of Christ as a royal priest. Zechariah chapter 6 is a revelation of Christ as a priest who would be crowned with glory and honor, a priest who would sit upon a throne. The words of Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, they are words concerning the revelation of Christ as this royal priest in glory. And so they would certainly have created an expectation in those who heard those words. They would have created within them an expectation developed according to what they saw as they heard those words. Those words in verse 12 being, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold the man." As the exiles hear, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold the man." What do they see? They see Joshua crowned with a crown cast in silver and gold. The end of exile, the building of God's temple, it comes with the revelation of Christ crowned in glory. Behold the man. But as we will see, the people misunderstood these words, for they misunderstood the exile from which they were to be delivered, as well as that throne upon which this royal priest would sit. Concerning that throne, already last Lord's Day we noted its identity. The identity of the throne upon which this priest in splendor, this priest in honor, this priest in glory will sit. In verse 13, we read of the high priest of God's people, the man who shall build the temple of the Lord, who shall bear honor, who shall sit and rule on his throne. And if we stop there and read no further, we might understand that this pronoun, the possessive pronoun his, of his throne, we might understand it as a reflexive pronoun. That is, one referring to the subject of the sentence, which is the high priest, the one sitting on that throne. And if we understood the grammar of our text in this way, we would understand that his throne is referring to the throne of the priest. And so you might translate the passage, he shall sit and rule on his own throne. But if we understand the phrase his throne of verse 13 in this way, as the throne of the priest, we are then unable to make sense of what follows immediately thereafter. And he shall sit on his throne, and there shall be a priest on his throne. Now here it is clear that the throne upon which the priest sits is not his own throne, but the throne of another. And this is made certain by what then follows, and the council of peace shall be between them. Between them both. Between the two. The throne upon which the priest sits is not his own. The throne upon which he sits is another's. But who is this other? Whose throne is it upon which the high priest will sit? One might suggest that this throne is the throne of the king, that this throne is the throne of David, that throne upon earth. The priest shall sit upon his throne. The priest shall sit upon the king's throne. But this suggestion, it does not satisfy the context of our passage. For whose house is it that the priest shall build? The house that he shall build is the house of the Lord, and the priest shall sit on his throne. He shall build the house of the Lord, and the priest shall sit on his throne. His throne is the throne of the Lord and the house of the Lord. There shall be a priest on his throne. There shall be a priest on the throne of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 6 is the same witness of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have in Zechariah chapter 6 a revelation of Christ, a royal priest forever, as sitting not upon the throne of man, but upon the throne of God. It is a revelation of Christ as the King of glory. The throne upon which he will sit is the throne of heaven. The glory and honor that he shall bear is the glory and honor of heaven. And if one still is unconvinced of these things, we may note that in testimony of these things, the crown which was set upon the head of Joshua, it was to be placed where? Not in the palace of the king, but in the temple of the Lord. That crown was to be placed in the temple of the Lord, a reminder to the people of their hope. A reminder to the people of the coming of the King of Glory. A reminder to the people of the nature of His rule, of the place of His throne. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Zechariah chapter 6 is a revelation of Christ as the King of Glory. Zechariah chapter 6 is a revelation of Christ as the Lord of Glory. But as we said, the people misunderstood the throne that belonged to him. That is the throne that would belong to Christ, the throne that would belong to their royal priest, a throne not on earth, but a throne in heaven. And furthermore, they misunderstood what was required of him as their priest, that he might sit and rule upon that throne. What was required of him? Does our passage say? What is the end of verse 13? And a council of peace shall be between them both. Between whom? Between the priest and between the Lord, upon whose throne he sits. A council of peace shall be between them. A council of peace shall be between the priest and the Lord. But what is this council of peace? Is this council of peace a rule of peace? Is it the peace of their kingdom? Is it the peace of their reign, as the Lord promises in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 12, in which the Lord promises the sowing of peace, the sowing of the peace of Messiah's reign, that peace as it is described in Psalm 72. Is this council of peace? Is it a rule of peace? Certainly, that rule is a rule of peace. That reign is a reign of peace. Their kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And Christ is the Prince of Peace. But while these things are true, I would suggest to you that this council of peace in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13 describes not the nature of their rule, but the nature of their relationship. That this council of peace describes the relationship between this priest and the Lord. That the council of priests describes their relationship, that there is between them peace. Understood in this way, the council of peace is not a rule of peace, but a relationship of peace, a covenant of peace, peace between God and his priest. And if peace between God and his priest, then peace between God and his people. In Zechariah chapter 6, the Christ is revealed not only as the King of glory who will reign in peace, but also as that one who makes peace between God and his people. For you may not enjoy his reign of peace if you do not have peace with God. In Zechariah chapter 6, Christ is revealed as the one who makes peace between God and his people. But how does he make this peace? How does he establish this council of peace? Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. But his people did not understand. His people did not understand the necessity of this cross. That cross was for them a stumbling block. For his people desired a king who would come in glory and power, in the glory and power of Zechariah chapter 6, to deliver them from their enemies and to take his seat upon a throne upon the earth. To establish a rule of peace upon this earth, to establish a rule of peace within this world, but they did not understand that it was necessary for him to be made for a little while lower than the angels. They did not understand the necessity of his humiliation to deliver them, not from the kingdom of Babylon, but from the kingdom of darkness, not to reconcile them with man, but to reconcile them with God. They did not understand that he came to make peace first between them and God by the blood of his cross. And so in John chapter 19, verse 5, when Pilate reveals Jesus as the Christ with the words of Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, in the hearing of the people, "Behold the man." What they saw was not
what they desired. A king honored with a crown of gold. But rather, they saw Jesus beaten with a crown of thorns.
And so when Pilate again says, "Behold your king,"
the people reject him in favor of a king like the kings of the nations of the earth, saying, "We have no king but Caesar." They did not understand the wisdom and power of God. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, "None of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Zechariah chapter 6 is a revelation of the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory who would make peace by the blood of his cross between you and God. You now enjoy that peace. You now have peace with God.
For Christ, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, has now been crowned with glory and honor. And the resurrected Christ, he stands in the midst of his people, and what does he proclaim? He speaks to them peace. He speaks to you peace. Each Lord's Day, you stand in the presence of the Lord by the Spirit of Christ. And what do you hear? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
People of God, you have now and forevermore peace with God. For the Lord of glory has made peace for you with God by his blood. May you then be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have peace. To him be glory and honor. Amen. Let us pray.